2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Why does it always end up like this? To my right, Scott Mitchell.
It's just it the
always,
thing we
it
do,
always
Alex.
Has to be like that. So,
yes. I am always right.
If you hear us tonight, we sound a little bit different. It's because we're on remote. We're out at the Megaplex here at the Gateway. Re-grand opening. Of course, they also have a lot of movies. It's all pumping. It's all back to feeling like normal. And you can come right down to the Gateway and check out any of the Megaplex theaters, of course, 007 coming out. And this is a big deal. It's all part of the tour de fans. We're kicking things off, though, first. I told Scott, it's a big weekend for BYU football. It's a giant weekend for BYU football. But I want to reserve this very first segment at 7:05 to talk about your Utah Utes, Scott, in that massive game against USC this weekend. That's where we're going to start things off. It's the 7:05 cut. Let's do it.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Look, Alex, Utah's on a massive win streak. Okay, they've won one in a row.
Will you stop it?
All right, things
no,
are
I'm
up.
I'm happy for you guys. Look, you guys are undefeated in the Pac-12. How many teams are undefeated in the Pac-12 currently?
There are three, and I don't believe that you're happy. I think it has. It's an ulterior motive,
buddy. You know that I cheer for the Utes. Guess what? Next week, BYU's at Baylor. I'm staying here in town. I'm going to the Utah game that night versus Arizona State.
So am I.
Well, you are. You get in for free. Hey, listen. We got a lot to talk about. The cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. As the Utes head to USC, Scott, this game has suddenly not just become – it feels a little bit not just like, hey, you got to beat USC if you're going to win the South and possibly win the Pac-12. Things have now gotten to the point where it's like, hey, man, I think to rejuvenate this program, to make – this year feel like, right now, with the passing of Aaron Lowe, with Ty Jordan's passing last year, with a start that they've had so far, I think that people do. They look at Utah and go, what is this team about? And a win down at USC would be massive for them. And if they're going to do it this year, USC is not the USC we've seen in the past. Why not steal it this year from the Trojans?
Well, I think if you watch Oregon State, you watch Stanford, you realize – they beat USC at home, and it makes you realize, look, they can be had at home. I mean, this USC team is so scary, so talented. You just scratch your head. How are they not playing so much better? And, you know, a lot of it is when you rely on athletic ability and talent, sometimes maybe you make mistakes. Sometimes you're not in the right position. There's all that stuff going on. And I think that's some of the issue with USC. Whereas Utah, typically, they do the right things. They're in the right spots. They play really good football, sound football. They play tough. They play hard. But here's the thing that's, I think, the most fascinating part about this whole rival matchup. Sorry about the rivalry thing.
No, it's all good.
The whole matchup is these two programs are in a significant state of flux, right? They got some massive off-the-field things happening, and it's almost one of those who can deal with and who can manage the uncertainty better. USC, no matter what they do this year, they're going to have issues. They're going to have issues because their coach is not going to be there at the end of the year. It's not they're not playing for anything.
Oh, you don't think that the interim tag is going to turn into a full-time head coaching
deal? It's already been very clear from the get-go.
They're like, this is you are temporary, buddy.
You are very temporary.
And the staff that you're working around, they're probably temporary too. So sorry.
And so everyone is like, there's nothing to play for. There really isn't anything to play for any of these players. And you always need kind of this rallying point. You need this focus. You know, we got to turn it around. Whereas Utah has had, you know, you don't want to wish anything that's happened to Utah football past, you know, half of a year.
But see, Utah doesn't feel dysfunctional like USC feels dysfunctional.
Right.
So that's a good part where you look and you go, look, Utah might be in a bad spot. In fans' minds, Utah feels like they're in a weird spot, but USC's dysfunctional bad.
It's one of those games where these two programs, where they're in these tough situations, it could be that hinge point, that pivot to a whole new direction, a whole new season. Like if Utah beats USC at USC, it could be just a downward spiral for USC, and it could be a massive springboard. I mean, Utah wins this game at USC, and they are in such a driver's position to win the South.
I look at this and I go, okay, they've lost these two games against Stanford and against Oregon State. Mind-boggling losses, too, because they're at home. Obviously, after the loss to Stanford, that ended up being the catalyst to boot Clay Helton. So now you've got this interim coach who they go in and they go, we're excited. Hey, man, you're fighting for, you know, whether or not he's staying at USC, not as a head coach, but as, you know, some version of the staff or whatever, fine. But now it's turned – then they lose to Oregon State in an embarrassing fashion because they haven't lost to Oregon State in 60-plus years. And then you have this thing where they go, okay, look, we've lost home games. We've lost at night in these home games. And we're playing not as late as we played these other ones, but this Utah game, this one they know, Utah already smells blood in the water on USC. This is absolutely a losable game for USC as much as it is a winnable game for Utah. And you keep harping on the fact that it all comes down to if USC starts slow at all, they will absolutely be in their own heads, and they will just absolutely blow up.
Look, if you're USC and you're changing up your routine because you had two home losses, Utah's already won the game.
Right.
Like you've already won the game. I mean, it's like it's not even you're USC. Don't change your routine for anything. This is the Coliseum. This is the men of Troy. You know, you do not change. And they're – we don't know what to do now. We've lost a couple home games. And it's like that should tell you exactly where USC is, and they are absolutely ripe for the picking.
We're excited because it's a full weekend of college football, and Scott's going to be headed to L.A. this weekend to watch that game at the Coliseum. BYU's taking on Boise State down at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and we're excited about that. Speaking of BYU, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, Matt Biamonte, going to join us here in just a couple of moments. We're going to chat BYU. We're going to chat that Boise State game and what scares the absolute dickens out of BYU fans with this game. We'll come back, talk to Matt Biamonte about it. He always gives us the straight answers. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled. So tour to fans, we're at the Megaplex right here at the Gateway. Megaplex luxury like you've never seen. Come down, take a look. Catch 007. You can enter to win BYU tickets as well while you're here. We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Matt Biamonte next.
There's a
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. We're here at the Megaplex at the Gateway. It's reopened, and apparently things are hopping here. 007 is out. I love James Bond movies. I've loved them from the time I was a kid.
They have it.
In fact,
they have
Jaws. You remember Jaws, the guy with the metal teeth?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Jason Buck.
He does
and
look like him, yes.
I totally told Jason that, and he'll laugh at this. It's not a –
Listen. Jason, he does look the same. They look very similar. The mustache.
Well, and the same growls, too. It's like, you know, that's kind of how Jason talks.
And in real life, nicest guys in the world. Like the guy who played Jaws, hilarious.
There's no one better than Jason Buck. I saw something today.
What'd you see?
I watched the It's a Football Life of Vince Lombardi.
Okay.
Man, what an amazing – here's the coolest thing about Vince Lombardi. Like his players hated him, right? He was tough. But every single guy showed up at his funeral. Like that they were.
He made their lives, man.
He told them the things that they needed to hear, and he set a standard, and he held everyone accountable to that standard, and they all appreciate. They all go. Look, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be who I am today. Bart Starr, he went into Bart Starr's house after he'd left the Packers. Bart's wife goes, all of this is possible because of you.
We would not have this.
And Vince Lombardi got up, gave him a hug, cried, and walked out of the house.
That's amazing. Well,
cool thing. Anyways.
I will say, too, people who've never heard our show before or have heard us maybe not talk about this before, you have similar thoughts when you talk about Don Shula. You're like, meanest coach.
Hated him.
You were scared of him. I love the idea of being scared of somebody and then going, yeah, but anyway, love that guy. Like, there's no such version of that for the rest of us.
Right.
I think it's like there's that part where you go, yeah, but I know what they were doing.
Well, our
I
boss,
know what
Nate
they were
Dowdle
doing.
Kind of brings that same.
Our boss, yeah. I haven't come around on him yet either. One of these, at the very end I'll go, all this, when I point to you and I, all this is possible because of us. Not you, Nate. Get out of here. All right. So joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday with Mitch Harper. Matt, there's a game going on this weekend down in Provo. It's a 1:30 kick. It's in the afternoon this weekend. The question is, does that time shift, does the number 10 ranking, does all that equate into being a different weekend for BYU football, or is it just the fact that they may be playing with a third-string quarterback?
That it's the latter, yeah. So the ranking doesn't bother me at all. I think this team has proven throughout the year and last year that they can handle the expectations. And I don't think the day game will be an issue. I mean, the schedule will be significantly different for them because they usually stay in a hotel the night before, and then you're killing time all day long. So this will be probably a wake up, eat breakfast, head to the stadium situation. But the quarterback situation is the big question mark right now, and this is a trap game, guys. I know that Boise State they're 2-3. BYU's got a nice little winning streak going on against Boise State, but this Boise State team, two of their three losses have come on final possession. Like, they missed a field goal against Oklahoma State, and they threw a pick on a game-winning drive against UCF. So they could be 4-1, and this is a dang good team, and you gotta be careful if you're BYU because you got to show up for this one.
Well, my question is, who's going to show up? I mean, which quarterback is going to be – who do you think is going to be the quarterback? We're trying to get it out of Jaren Hall all week long, and he's like a vault. He doesn't say anything.
I think he's a vault because he knows he might not be the guy, right?
I think it's Jacob Conover. I hate saying that. I wish it was Jaren Hall. And, look, Jacob Conover, there's like this – it shouldn't be that surprising, but there's like this aura around highly recruited quarterbacks that haven't played. It's like they're going to – just burst onto the scene and take the city by storm. And that just has not been the history of freshman quarterbacks in college football. And he won the game against Utah State in the second half. I get that. But that was because of the offensive line and Tyler Allgeier. And I know the play calling also got shut down a little bit to conserve the lead. But I have concerns that Jacob Conover is ready for this, because if he's playing, you can't be conservative and expect a running game to work. You still have
what you have, Matt, is you got a lot of talent around Jacob Conover. I mean, he's walking into riches of playmakers, and so when you're young, you don't have all that pressure. When you got all, you just got to get him the ball.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think part of the thing that Matt's pointing out, too, is like, look, if Jacob Conover is a quote-unquote special talent, like we've heard about, well, then now's the time to show it off, because just saying, well, you got Tyler Allgeier and Boise State's got a bad run defense is not a good enough equation. Because when we talked about it this week with Devin Kafusi, he goes, it makes all the difference in the world when you're a defensive lineman and you know it's going to be a run. And if Jacob Conover goes in the game and they just go, well, they're going to hand this thing off to Tyler Allgeier all game, are they going to take shots with a guy like Jacob Conover? I feel like A-Rod is the type of guy that would try it.
He is, but does he trust them? Because it was clear when Baylor Romney came in that he trusted Baylor, that we were going to do the same thing. We were going to be aggressive, because I know Baylor's going to make good reads and take care of the football, and that's exactly what we saw. Does he feel that way about Conover? He says all the right things, but this is a completely inexperienced quarterback. And so it's not so much my concern with Jacob Conover's abilities as it is Aaron Roderick going to call the offense the same way he would for Baylor Romney and Jaren Hall, and I just don't know. I don't know if he will. I hope that he does.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is, Matt. I
don't. Well, that's a problem
to.
Then, Scott, because
well,
then
I, no,
then
no, no,
Boise
it's not a
State
problem.
Off.
No.
I think
what
it
I'm
is.
Trying to say to you guys. Here's what I'm trying to say to you guys.
Oh, fine, I'll listen one
okay.
time.
Just listen to
fine.
Me. Jacob Conover is going into a situation where he doesn't have to do everything by himself. He doesn't have to make all these amazing reads. There's a lot of talent on that offense, and I'm not talking about the running backs. I'm talking about the wide receivers. With the running game BYU has, you can go play action, give Jacob Conover some very simple reads. You can on early downs throw the football with some pretty simple throws that he can handle and he can get some confidence with. You got to remember, a lot of why things shut down last week is because Jacob Conover didn't get any reps during the week. And this week, if he's getting all the reps, you're at least he's going
to
make mistakes.
According to Aaron Roderick, though, four guys are getting the reps right now, so they don't even know who the quarterback is. He said that yesterday, that four guys
are
still
that.
In the mix.
Matt, you've been in this gig as long as you have, and you know how it works. We're working on four or five quarterbacks
we
this
got,
week, man.
We got Samson Nakua throwing passes.
I've got nine quarterbacks in my back pocket. I trust all of them. It's like you know the lines that the coaches have to say because they have one – all their quarterbacks listening, and two, they have Boise State listening, right? I mean, in the end, they go, well, we have the advantage here where we can just tell them nothing because they know that they can kind of get away with it still. What we do know is that Baylor Romney is probably not going to play. That's just been the back. That's what Kalani Sitake does when people go into that concussion protocol. And then at the same time, we have a massive question mark around Jaren Hall, who's reportedly been – not just with the wind knocked out of him, quote unquote, the possible ribs there, but also could be another injury in the mix as well. So I don't know what BYU fans are going to be expecting this weekend. So with all those things said, how do they win this? How do they win this stinking game, this trap game against Boise State? Then Matt Biamonte.
I was just going to say, and this whole conversation we just had, it might not even matter because Tyler Allgeier is top 10 in the country in rushing. This offensive line has been dang good. Like, we talk about the quarterbacks and Tyler Allgeier, but this offensive line has surprised me a ton because they lost a lot of guys, and they just week after week, they continue to open up lanes for Tyler Allgeier. So, you know, at the end of the Boise State, they're not a good rushing team, and they're not a good rush defense, and if they can't slow down Allgeier, it probably doesn't matter who's playing quarterback because you can just rely on that offensive line and run the football.
Well, here's what we're going to do. Matt, we'll give you a couple more days to think about it, first of all. All right, so the deal is we'll give you enough time to think about it.
Jacob Conover's going to play, and BYU's going to win. So, but
okay, there you go.
They're not going to throw the ball very much. So there you go.
They're a 5.5-point favorite in this game. So before we get out here, tell me how this thing shakes out then.
I think BYU doesn't trail at all during the game yet again, and they run the rock, and like Scott said, there's some play action mixed in. Jacob Conover will go, I don't know, like maybe 13 to 20 for 150 yards, and BYU will win by 14. So I think they'll control the line of scrimmage like they've done the last couple weeks, and they'll get ready for a good Baylor team the following week.
So after all that, Matt just goes, yeah, same old, same old. They won by about, I don't know, 10, 14 points. No big deal. They'll win this thing.
All right. Same old, same old. Romney was thrown for 300 yards, so you're not going to get the balance. It's going to be heavy run. Right.
Boise State gives up 200 yards a game on the ground, and so BYU's hoping to take advantage of that. Matt, we'll catch you later. Thanks for being with us, man. We'll see you this weekend.
Yep, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, he's Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. By the way, we're doing an extended pregame with those guys. We're gonna even join those guys for a segment this weekend.
I can't wait. Excited.
Will you stop with that attitude? All right, we're going to take the break here. We'll come back.
KSL's unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, we're at the Megaplex Theater, the Megaplex Luxury Theaters. If you've never been to the full luxury experience with Megaplex, I would encourage you to do it. And they've got the Gateway, the re-grand opening here, all luxury all the time. You got the full seats here, by the way, Scott. Every one of them in the house. heated, reclining. They got the table. If you want to put the full buffet on the table in front of you, they got it. So,
they have the food.
Yes,
it doesn't feed you though. You asked the question: Does the seat feed you?
It doesn't feed you.
It does not feed you.
Yeah, so we're still working on that. That's the next Bond.
Advanced technology.
It's in the next Bond movie. That's something we're going to have Q work on for the next deal. So you can catch the newest Bond film that's out this weekend, No Time to Die, at all of your local Megaplex theaters. And in the meantime, this is part of our tour to fans. We've been all along the Wasatch Front here. You can win tickets to BYU and Boise State, and you can also get yourself entered to win tickets in the future as well. So come down and hang out with us here at the Gateway. In the meantime, Scott, the Pac-12, I know we're kind of – we dog Oregon all the time because we go, they're not that good, man. They didn't look that good. When they came to Pac-12 Media Day and they were business only,
yes.
Mario Cristobal showed up.
He was in a bad mood.
He was, like, grumpy the whole time. I went, ooh, Mario Cristobal's grumpy. You know what that means? They're probably going to win. They're going to win the whole dang time.
And then they go to Ohio State, and they win.
They win
at
Ohio State.
I mean, of course they're going to be a good
team. And then they lay an egg at the library at Stanford, right? And it's the weirdest situation. They go into overtime. They get into overtime at last second, Stanford does. And then you go, they're going to lose. I bet Oregon's going to lose this thing. And they did. And now the Pac-12 is looking at another year of futility when it comes to the college football
playoff. I don't know that I believe that. I don't think it's futility. I think there's a lot of really good teams in the Pac-12. I do. UCLA is
better.
Pardon
me as I roll my eyes, Scott.
Oh, no. I'm not. They don't. There's not a great
Oregon team. State is super good now.
Time,
okay.
Wait, you keep interrupting me. Put it. Let me talk. All right, look. There's a lot of good teams in the Pac-12.
Okay.
There's not a great team in the Pac-12. There's not an Alabama in the Pac-12. However, losing right now, if you're Oregon, is not the worst thing that can happen. Every time a team has made the college playoffs from the Pac-12, they've had at least one loss. And to have a loss right now, the bowl ranking or the playoff rankings haven't come out yet. So they're not. If you're going to lose right now, is a decent
time. It's a good time to
do it. It's a good time to lose. If they run the table, they win the Pac-12 championship. They'll be in the playoffs, and they'll be in the playoffs because Ohio State is down, because Clemson is out of it, and so you've got Alabama, and really the other three spots are open. And,
well, the good news is everybody else in college football is losing too.
Is doing the same thing, right? Yeah. So it's not one of those years. Now, if you're another team in the Pac-12, like an Arizona State that might be the best team in the Pac-12, you can't have the losses you've had and expect to win. But Oregon would have to go on kind of a terror, like if they were actually going to win the conference and to actually represent in the college football playoffs. And quite frankly, I was disappointed for this, because if you're a Utah fan, you go, everyone's just said Oregon's going to win the Pac-12.
And you want Oregon to keep winning.
Yes, because then you have a shot to go to the Rose Bowl. Now it's the Gasparilla Bowl for Utah, or no bowl at all.
I think you mispronounced it as Gasparilla.
Gasparilla.
It's like a quesadilla, but a Gasparilla.
A Gasparilla. I thought it was Puerto Vallarta. That's what I thought it was.
So, listen, hey, the Puerto Vallarta Bowl would be pretty cool. A Puerto Vallarta Bowl.
Oh, it's got to be the Puerto Vallarta Bowl.
Puerto Vallarta, brought to you by Cheez-It. Like, it's got to be Nabisco.
Brought to you by Quesadilla.
So do you see, I mean, we saw Arizona State put up, they figured it out a little bit. They're 4-1. They blew up UCLA down at the Rose Bowl last week. It was like another time where we went, I thought UCLA was supposed to be good. And they haven't been great yet either. But Arizona State looks like they may be the best team in the South right now. And I know that could change because there's only five games into the season, but that team looks like the one to beat in the South. And it looks like the one that would give everybody a run for their money. I mean, they lost to BYU early. So if there's a shot for some team to get in the college football playoff, Arizona State, if they win out, that means they're going to the college football. They're going to the Pac-12 championship game. If they win the Pac-12 championship game and their one loss, that you could easily see those guys in the college football playoff.
But what's hard about Arizona State is, of all the teams in the Pac-12, they were ranked early on in the season, they probably had the lowest ranking. So they're a team that's like, yeah.
But they
no
only,
one's thinking about
but
them.
But they
like,
got
you don't
that
sit
loss early.
Go, oh, Arizona State, that's – I mean, it's just an optics thing. It's like Oregon winning at Ohio State, it just put them on the map. And Arizona State just kind of is not on anybody's map. They may at the end of the season.
Here's my extended version of that point, though. My extended version of that point is Utah plays USC this week and Arizona State next week. So now you flip-flop it and you go, they play USC at the Coliseum this weekend. Then they go over and they can play Arizona State, and they beat both of these teams, then suddenly Utah's in that same conversation. Undefeated in Pac-12 play.
Right.
Two losses, one to the top to a top 10 team at that point, maybe with BYU still. And another one, where was the other loss? I can't remember.
San Diego State.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Top 25 team.
Did you make me have to say that?
I just
But you're right. I mean, San Diego State's a good football team. BYU's a good football team. The Utah season really is the next 2 weeks. I mean, it just is. It is that pivotal point in the season. There's no question about it if you're Utah. And they may be a team to get it turned around. They're a young, inexperienced team that's trying to figure out how to play high-level football on a consistent basis week in and week out.
It's coming up on, you know, I mean, we're already almost halfway through the college football season. This weekend we're going to hit, that six-game, you know, halfway point for all these teams in their regular season. It's wild because this season has been one of the biggest of upsets that we've ever seen in college football. And that has two things that have happened. It makes the game so much more fun, but it also separates your Alabamas and your Georgias. Those are the only two teams everybody looks at and goes, yeah, they're the best in college football. The rest is like, can we really believe Iowa? Can we really believe Penn State? Can you really believe all these? Because those two teams were playing each other this weekend, right?
And so I think you forget somebody.
Who?
Cincinnati.
Number five in the country currently.
Cincinnati's a legitimate team. Cincinnati is, if they win out, they will be in the college
But see, again,
they're
going to
be in the college football playoffs.
But you'll always have this conversation about they beat Notre Dame. Yes, amazing.
Yes. And that's all they had to do.
And that's all they needed to do, because then they're going to get into this AAC schedule, and it's going to be like, oh, yeah. They will easily be forgotten by the time they're 9-10 games into the season.
No, they won't. And you know what will happen? No, because it's the same thing that BYU's getting a bump for committing to go to the Big 12. They're looked at as a Power 5 program now. If it was a team like Boise State that's not going to go into a Power 5 conference, maybe a different discussion. But you can easily put a Cincinnati in the college football playoff. I'm telling you, I know people think it's crazy, but BYU could end up being in that conversation to keep winning. They went out and they beat USC the last week of the season. That would be monumental.
We're going to take another break here. We'll come back. It is the grand reopening here at the Megaplex Theater at the Gateway. All luxury seats all the time. Boy, we even have leather seats we're sitting in. Is this what you guys do here, Jeff? You roll out the...
No, it's legitimate. Yeah.
See, this is nice. Come down. Catch a movie. That's what people are doing now. You're catching movies. You don't need to download it at home and go, this is the same as the movie theater. It's not. You know it's not. It's part of the Tour de Fans, brought to you by General RV. We're on the road again, and here's where we are, the Megaplex Theater at the Gateway. We'll come back, more to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott. According to Alex. Most valuable player.
All righty, sports fans, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell. That's me, Alex Curry, the guy to my left. We are at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex at the Gateway. It's the luxury edition, meaning that every single seat is luxury. We're here with Tour de Fans, brought to you by General RV. Of course, we're going around, you know, all over the place because it's the season for sports. And, of course, you can win tickets. Just come on by and win tickets to all kinds of games. We got BYU games, maybe Utah games. I know there's some Jazz games down the road. Come in, say hello, go watch a movie, and join us. So, Alex.
Yeah, what do you got?
I watched another football life. You know who it was?
Who was it?
It was Bill Walsh.
The West Coast offense. So,
and here's the thing, okay? After watching this, I'm like, Bill Walsh, you're an idiot.
Why? Why would you say something like that about a 49ers coach
who I never liked?
What?
No, his whole pedigree is amazing. I mean, all the coaches that spawned from him, and he was an innovator, and he was an amazing coach.
The coaching tree.
And this is no offense to Steve Young. He's in the Hall of Fame. But if you have Joe Montana, and he created this controversy between Montana and Steve Young. And it's like, what are you doing? And he did this in the 1989 season, and he did it for, I don't know, maybe he was bored. I don't know what it was. But this is Joe Montana in his prime. And the guy who's the janitor that sweeps the building at night could tell you, Joe Montana's the starting quarterback. And there was this, and they were splitting time, Steve Young and Joe Montana, and the team was, like, in disarray. And finally, someone, like, talked some sense into him. Joe Montana becomes the quarterback for the end of the season, and they go on a run, and probably one of the greatest Super Bowl performances of all time is Joe Montana and winning the Super Bowl. The clutch, you know, the drive that they won.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, really just – or maybe it was the next year when they played the Broncos. I don't know. But
so that's your MVP, Bill Walsh?
No, it's not. I haven't even got to my MVP.
I know. That
Listen,
like,
my MVP. No, my.
You told me today. You're like, I got an MVP, man. A great MVP.
You wonder who my MVP is? Let me hear it. Just to tell you right now.
It's just, you know, sports.
My MVP.
Your MVP is
480.
What is that?
Otis.
Now what is it?
Otis 480, a brown bear. In Alaska is what, my MVP.
What is this? You've got to explain.
What do you mean? What is
Otis
this?
Otis 480?
Yes.
I thought you were saying 480. That's the area code for Phoenix, man.
No, it's his tag.
Okay. Right? So he's a real bear that wanders the woods of Alaska.
And
this is your MVP.
It's Fat Bear Week.
What are you talking about?
The bears are getting ready to hire.
They're trying to get fat.
And so they have a contest.
The bears humans.
They know. The bears know this.
The contest is don't die. Like, no, that's no, the contest. No.
The contest is which bear grows to be the biggest bear before they go in hibernation.
Okay, so they
– Otis is
again,
his
this
nickname.
Is a human. This is a human contest that we've put on the bears.
Yeah,
we're like, eat those berries, you fat brown bear.
Yogi Bear put this on. He set this all up.
He set it up.
Yes.
I feel like this is like sponsored by like one of those wing places, you know, where they're like, oh, yeah, the Fat Bear Week.
Right, and so well, people vote on it. So they have.
I hate everything about this, and I love it.
Why do you hate it? This is so amazing. This is.
I guess it's because I get mad because the bears are eating better than you and I are right now.
Okay, so 2021 Fat Bear Week, Otis Bear 480.
Yeah.
No, there's more.
Is that his weight? Is that in kilos?
No. Is his weight? He's over 1,000 pounds.
Okay.
They,
well, that's what 480
they say
kilos.
These bears when they go and actually hibernate. They dig their little – they have to dig a hole to put their belly in because their belly's so big.
I know about Planet Earth with David Attenborough. You don't have to tell me about how they hibernate.
Yeah. Could you imagine us, like, just going, all right, we're
just – it's kind of what we've done. I mean, the reality is we've been watching our figure, and we went into the cave 1,000 pounds, and now we're out of that thing.
And apparently, the fatter the bear,
yeah,
the healthier that it is.
You know what? That's what I've been trying to tell my wife
Otis,
for years, man.
I know. Otis 480,
okay,
is the fat bear champion of 2021.
Like, what was his diet? Did they interview him after thing? Or
no,
is he asleep right
diet
now?
Diet is salmon. It's a salmon diet. It's a healthy diet.
I had a doctor
lots of omega-3s.
Yeah, I was trying to lose weight one time, one of the times I failed. And the doctor was like, hey, man, listen. I said, what about fruit? And he goes, how do you think all those bears get fat, man? You can't eat a bunch of fruit. I was like, what about blueberries? He goes, that's how they get fat. Think about what all those bears are eating. Huckleberries, blueberries. They're just getting fat off the berries, man.
So they estimate the bears 20 to 40 salmon a day.
Yeah.
A salmon is about 4,500 calories by itself.
That's
so 4,500 calories times 20 to 40.
Do you think they're eating the filet only on those things? Or
the filet.
The filet only?
They could. You know.
No, they're eating the full thing, man.
Yeah.
Eyeballs, all of it.
All the roe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's tasty stuff, huh? Probably not.
Yeah,
that's the stuff that tastes fishy.
Well, you on sushi, the little crunchy stuff.
I got the little crunchy stuff. It is.
I know.
Okay, well, Otis 480, congratulations on your win.
That is my MVP.
If we're gonna abuse this bear and film him while he's getting fat, and have him win a fake contest that humans have made up, and he doesn't even know. He's just getting filmed from a distance.
Oh, he knows. They're putting on a show.
He needs to get – you know
totally
what he needs?
Knows.
We need to compensate this bear. This is like a collegiate athlete. We've been shorting him all these years. We need to do the BIL, the bear version of the NIL.
Bear image and likeness.
Yes, the bear image and likeness. Yeah. Let this guy – this guy's been eating, and we've been profiting off this.
You can't tell one from another.
We've been profiting off of this. We've been profiting off of this for years. And the bears need to take it back. Bears need to take it back. Scott, great MVP. A Bear. Yeah. Yeah. Good job.
No,
Otis,
it's not 480. A Bear. It's Otis.
Otis 480. Yeah. Scott, you know who Andy Murray is? He's a tennis player. He won Wimbledon. Yeah. He's the last he was like – I think he broke a long streak of British tennis players or finally winning the Wimbledon after a bunch of Brits couldn't do it for decades. He did it. Fine. Great. He lost his wedding ring at the BNP Paribas Open.
And that's why he's your MVP?
He's my MVP because he lost it.
Okay.
No, but he left his wedding ring attached to a pair of shoes that he placed under his car overnight in the parking garage of his hotel. Does this sound safe? Now, I would assume he's like my teenage son who I put his shoes outside of the car overnight also. You know what I mean? Like, you don't. And I thought Andy Murray probably has stinky shoes, right? That's why he had to put them outside the car, under the car, in the parking garage. Anyway, he drives off.
I've never heard of anyone putting their shoes by the car.
Under the car, yeah.
Anywhere.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Right. Turns out there was a staff member who was extremely that was observant of seeing. He saw some shoes. They look like a nice pair of Under Armour shoes. They had a gold ring attached to them. He took them back to the hotel, took four or five calls. Andy Murray drove back himself. He was upset because his wife was upset, right?
Yeah.
He didn't want to rock the boat. And so my MVP, here's what it says. He placed his shoes under the car. Here it comes. After he had worn them to practice, saying they were, quote, pretty damp, pretty sweaty, and yes, smelly.
Stinky.
Yes. The only problem was that wedding ring was tied to the laces. That's a rookie move, by the way. Tying the wedding ring to
some
laces.
Well, you don't want to lose it.
Yeah, but
put it somewhere safe.
You got to have it somewhere better. Yeah.
Don't you stick your like wallet and your keys and your phone and your shoes?
As Seinfeld used to say, that was our original security.
Yeah.
He's like the
thieves, when I go swimming, that's where I put it.
Right. The thieves check the front of the back of the shoes, then they move right on. They don't check the front of the shoes.
That's right.
That's our security system.
Yes. Because you look at the shoe and they go, there's nothing in here.
Murray said, I am an idiot. Needless to say, it looks bad. I had to answer at home to the problem. Ended up getting his ring back. And so thank you very much. Andy Murray said that he did give a tip to the young man who found.
So the young man is the MVP.
The young man's the MVP.
Okay.
And he tipped him. Did not disclose the amount. Do you think that's because it was a lot or because it was probably he was going to get ridiculed for not being enough?
I'll bet it wasn't very much. And he's just like, yeah.
I agree. That's actually exactly what I thought. I go, yeah. Because if he would have tipped him $1,000.
Remember Matt Kuchar everyone got all over him because he didn't pay his caddy very much? He won all this money.
I thought it was a standard fee. Matt Kuchar did not pay him enough? Didn't pay his caddy enough?
Apparently not.
Okay. Well, listen, these guys are getting clubs out of the bag, Scott. They're wiping grass off the club face.
Oh, they're keeping you in the game.
They deserve it. They deserve at least 12%, right? After they – Scott –
you know where you need to leave your shoes?
They pointed at where the hole is.
You leave your shoes by the bed. You know why you leave them by your bed?
What if they stink, though?
Leave them farther away from the bed. That way, if there's an earthquake or there's a fire in your house,
yep.
Put your shoes on, you go out the door.
You want a tip? Put them in the freezer. Kills the bacteria.
Oh.
Nice and chilly the next day, too.
It also kills the freezer.
We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go. Final hour of our of KSL's Unrivaled tonight. We're at the Megaplex Theater, part of the Tour de Fans, brought to you by General RV. I'm anticipating a special guest possibly next hour, dressed in mostly Boise State orange. So we'll see. We'll bring that to you. We'll come back. More to go after news, traffic, and weather here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We are at the Megaplex Theaters at the Gateway. Yeah, the grand reopening. Jeff, that's what we're calling it. It's a grand reopening. Yeah. It's a brand new building. It's beautiful in here. And when they say luxury, they mean it. Every seat in the house is the reclining, the heated. Did you say something about I've gone full-on pre-show, like fall asleep. And every seat in the house is the best seat in the house. So – And if you're showing up, you can also sign up to win BYU tickets. So throw your name in the old hat here. I say that because, Scott, I don't know if you notice this, a couple guys with some BYU gear rolling up.
They're pretty much decked out in BYU.
Listen, no problem.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. So if we're going to talk about it, let's talk a little bit about some of the awkward things that are happening in football. Urban Meyer has taken up a little bit more of our week than I thought he would. Because I thought, Scott, and this is the way the world is kind of working for me, is I assumed that the Urban Meyer video, the viral video of him dancing up against a young lady at his own restaurant bar, I thought that was going to go away. Not that I thought that it should have or anything. What I know is that in a lot of these cases, these videos go away, right? And in this case, you have a couple things. You're not winning, okay? You are sweeping yet another problem, or at least trying to sweep another problem under the rug. And Urban Meyer, we're starting to find out, for a lot of folks who have gone on record now, or not gone on record, but under some anonymity, some of these ADs are saying, and it's similar to what we heard from Paul Feinbaum last week, which was, none of this with Urban Meyer surprises me at all. A lot of these guys saying the same thing. That Urban Meyer is a certain way, and he is not somebody that we would have hired to be at our university. This is not necessarily surprising, knowing how things went. When we first got on the air, what was it, 2018, 2017, whenever we first started going on the air together, one of the very first things we covered was that whole situation with Urban Meyer covering up or possibly covering up an abusive situation with one of his coaches with his wife. And Urban Meyer was thrown out there as a guy who did not do enough to help that situation. And now we have another instance where it's just like, this guy has got a lot going on.
So this whole poll, all these athletic directors and all these in different areas, Power Five, Group of Five guys, right? And they're all saying, no way.
They wouldn't hire him.
And I'm saying, I'm not buying it. I don't buy it, and I'll tell you why. Our culture in sports is, I don't care what goes on.
Just win, baby.
Just win.
Yeah.
And it's not just the coaches. It's not Urban Meyer. It's parents in high school. It's parents going, my kid is going to be the absolute best, and I'm going to drive him, and they've got to go to this coach, and they have to have this diet, and they have to have this trainer. They have to have all these things. It permeates through our society. Urban Meyer is just a product of what I think at large people have just sold their soul to win in athletics. And I think it's everywhere. I think it's at every major university. I think it's in the high schools. I think it's with our parents. I don't even think it's even athletics. I think it's in academics.
You know what?
Parents are just like, my kid is going to be the best at all costs. I mean, look at all the celebrities who go, my kid's going to go and be on the rowing team at USC that doesn't even exist. They paid $500,000 for this.
It existed.
They'll hire Urban Meyer.
The rowing team exists at USC. The water polo team exists at USC.
Yeah, it's row your boat.
But I'm telling you, but the people who were getting those scholarships were not rowers or nor were they water polo players. They would like bad photoshops on to be like, look at him out there rowing. Here is a couple things that these athletic directors said about Urban Meyer. Not an Ice Cube's chance in heck, said a Group of 580. Another one said, there's no way I could hire Urban Meyer now or even after his actions at Ohio State. He is a moral train wreck and a big-time potential liability. Here's the problem with that statement, though. Being a moral train wreck almost works to your advantage, it feels like, in the NFL. Like, the only place he could go is the NFL, unless you're losing. Unless you're losing, because the NFL will chew you up and spit you out and go, oh, yeah, it's because of the moral problems. That's what we didn't like about Urban Meyer, didn't like his character. These guys do not – trying to talk like the moral character is what they're looking for. At least at the collegiate level, they could fake it through. Here's the other thing about these non-Power 5 guys. A Power 5 AD said they wouldn't hire him. Another Group of 5 said, no way, I would never hire him. Urban Meyer would never come to your school, dude. So you saying, that's like me going, oh, man, I would never, ever marry Giselle. You know why? Nah. Not after she's been with Tom Brady. She's married to Tom Brady. That's tough. I'm not going to marry her.
Yeah,
it's like,
I could,
she would not.
I can put the good word into Giselle
to
for
Tom
you.
For
you.
Have Tom reach out to his ex if they break up.
I'd just say, Alex is a good guy.
Good guy.
He's a good guy. He's a sweet spirit. He has a good personality.
See, she doesn't know what that lingo means, though. So then she's going, oh, sweet spirit.
Oh,
I kind of like this guy.
Yeah, I know.
He's a nice guy.
Oh.
Well, I'm just saying, when you say, no, I would have never hired Urban Meyer, guess what? Urban Meyer wasn't calling you, nor was he available to you. So it doesn't – your opinion matters nothing on the subject when Urban Meyer coming to your non-Power 5 school or even to a crud, they say, well, a Power 5 athletic director who wanted to remain anonymous. I'm like, this is probably the dude at Rutgers. He would have never come to your school anyway. Who cares? There's just too many uncertainties around him, said another Power 5 AD. Yeah, there are. And one of the uncertainties is, I mean, he will leave whenever he wants, but he might bring you a national championship before that.
Do you know how they changed the narrative?
What?
They talk to Urban Meyer. And they go.
And they say what?
And they go, okay, here's what's going on. Look, we had a very detailed, in-depth discussion with Urban Meyer. We did our research. We talked to so many people, and we found out that people change, and we want to give someone a second chance. And a lot of these things were hearsay. They weren't substantiated. There were all these issues, and so all these people can talk their way out of anything. And right now, it's of course not conducive for them to say anything, but they later on, if he was really considering coming there, they'd figure out a way to get him there, and they would, because he produces results. He understands the process of winning.
Are these the results that people want, though? The ones right now?
Yes.
I saw an article today. It was wild. It said,
okay, let's say that the
young woman in the video, her mom is worried about her emotional distress. And I thought, this is so bad because everything's just being wrapped up in this story is a massive mess. And Urban Meyer's a creep, dude. And after all this, after all we say about all this, Urban Meyer is not a good dude, and no one has cared about that until right now.
Suddenly they care. If you're the University of Arizona, do you hire Urban Meyer? Yes. If you're USC.
If you're USC, absolutely.
Of course you do.
It's almost like
the only school that
actually this makes him fit in better for us
is Stanford.
Yes, that's true. Washington might shy away. Let's take the break. Oregon State's like, huh, we would never. And they're like, but I mean, like, do you have his number? Like, I'll call him and just
talk
check.
To him?
I'll just check.
Yes.
And I'll tell him I don't approve. Can you just send me that number real quick? Let's come back. We've got another couple segments left here. Handful of things to talk about still. Stay right here with us. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Cherry, we are at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex at the Gateway. Of course, it's a luxury edition, so every seat's a luxury. It's tour de fans.
Scott, this is our first walk to Thursday. A remote in a while.
Yes, it was a walk.
It was a walk.
Well, we walked from building to building to building today.
I know.
Yes.
And, we tried to cut through Vivint. Didn't work out. We walked around it, and then we ended up finding ourselves.
And thanks our friends at General RV for putting on Tour de Fans.
That's right. The Tour de Fans is chugging right along here.
And we have a fan with us tonight.
We do. Hey,
yes.
Bam the RV Man. Now, if you've been listening to our program on these Wednesday nights,
Bam
the RV Man pops up every Wednesday.
He has the biggest smile on his face.
And I'm actually appalled by it. Let me just paint a disgusting orange and blue picture for you. Bam is here with the orange top hat that's gotten him on national television on ESPN. How many times, Bam? At least three times, right?
It was three times in the game against UCF, and then a bunch when we got whooped up by Washington.
Both games you lost, by the way. So
yeah,
now listen, you got the top hat has a bad the top hat has a bad rep,
yeah.
Dude. Man, come on.
I'll tell you what, that's all going to change on Saturday afternoon.
See, here comes the trash talk. Now, what was the deal? Will you please explain to BYU fans how Boise State lost and had a 50-burger planted on them last year up at their own place? That never happens with Boise State, man. Why did it happen last year against BYU? You have a plethora of excuses for me.
I've got a plethora of reasons, not excuses.
This is reality talk.
Come on, man.
This is reality radio.
Okay,
right,
let me hear it.
All right, so last year we were on our fourth, I heard fifth, but I think it was just our fourth string quarterback. So almost the situation that BYU
is in now.
Is in this year.
Right.
Now, Satake says all three of BYU's QBs are ready. Now, I wouldn't say that Romney's ready because he's got to have concussion protocol. But
okay.
That's a day-to-day thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, how dare you talk about the health of these kids, Bam. Okay.
Now.
Whoa. Okay, continue on.
Now, I want to say that if BYU lost Algiers and one more quarterback, we'd be in the same position because we were out George Helani, our number one running back, and then we were on our four-string quarterback.
So you think BYU'd lose by 38 on
Saturday? BYU is one player away from
losing by 38. Okay, all right. Well, now Boise State was not number 10 team last year when BYU came in. I mean, so,
definitely not.
Okay,
definitely
so now not. Give me then paint me because a lot of BYU fans are just going, okay, number 10 BYU, Boise State's coming in, they're 2-3. Everyone knows that 2-3 is a little bit false because there have been a couple close games, including that UCF game you were down embarrassing yourself at and getting in fights in the stands. And that was a pick on the last drive away from them maybe going down winning that thing. A field goal against Oklahoma State. I mean,
well, a scoop and score that we had against Oklahoma State, but they called back saying the runner was down. They reviewed it. Runner wasn't down. They couldn't give us a touchdown back.
Yeah, you cannot give touchdowns back in college football. So,
have you ever heard your record is what your record is? There are no excuses. Like, I just keep hearing these excuses.
Oh, in sales, we hear numbers don't lie. But
exactly, right. They don't lie.
So you're decked out in the full Boise State gear. What happened to you as a child? You're a Boise guy, though. Grew up in the Boise area.
Hardcore. Born and raised. Boise. Been in Utah about 13 years and just love swimming upstream here Utah.
How does somebody become a Boise State fan, like, growing up? Because you think about, like, the Statue of Liberty play happened in what year? That was Urban Meyer.
07.
07. And so, I mean, until that time, Boise State wasn't necessarily – I guess Dan Hawkins put you on the map a little bit. But in the end, I mean, you're decked out in an orange and blue that is –
far before the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay, so you've been a Boise State guy way before that. How does one become a Boise State fan growing up? Just because there's no other options up there in the old 208?
Well, in 208, there's not a lot of big sports teams. Boise is basically it. My wife says if you're born in Boise, it's going to be bred into you.
Okay,
so.
But
how do you get used to the blue turf? So when I played at Boise State.
When you try to explain it, it's disgusting.
In the 1980s, and they were telling us how the ducks and geese would land on the field and die.
Urban legend.
I heard it from the folks, from their mouths, the folks at Boise State, when we actually went there and played.
Well, speaking of urban legend, I heard that Urban Meyer might become a legend soon.
That's true.
We were just talking about the guy.
I'm just curious. How do you get used to the blue turf? It was really hard to play on, just so you know.
Now,
and we did win, by the way, but that's a long time.
In the 80s.
It's a long time ago.
In the 80s. Last year was the first win, probably, for BYU on the blue. Right. Or you didn't play at BYU when.
No, I
didn't. No, he was a Utah guy.
You were a Utah guy, and then you played for the Lions.
Okay, right. But here's my question. How long has it been blue? How long has the turf been blue?
I think it was 85.
That's been that long?
It's
you played on blue turf up there?
I played at Boise State. I hated it.
Yeah. No one likes it. Except, do you guys – be honest with me. As a fan, do you look at it and go, this is part of our
– it feels a little –
it's glorious.
It feels a little hopeful.
It's glorious.
But your face, it tells a different story. Like, I have to go along with this. It's part of our brand, I guess.
Well, when I was in marching band, I didn't like marching on it.
Okay.
Were you in the marching band?
I was.
And you had to march on the blue turf because that's probably where the big competition
was. Why did you not like it?
Tough to pull ones when your eyes get all messed up, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, nobody likes a trombone slide in the eye.
So the blue turf is it's bad for everybody.
Bad optics.
It's bad for everybody. Okay, so Boise State comes into this game. They're a 5.5-point dog, which actually isn't much considering that they have a losing record. BYU is supposedly the top 10 team in the country. Are you buying into how good BYU is? Because if Boise State does upset BYU, you have to say how amazing BYU was, so it makes you guys look even better.
Sure. No, I totally believe that BYU is an excellent team. Top 10, I don't know, top 15 for sure. They've got an excellent all-around game. I mean, their run game, their pass game, you mix that up between the two quarterbacks, Romney and Hall, and now Conover. Conover went in and went 15 of 19, I think, in that game in the second half, if they're called on for him. But I do think BYU is an awesome team. Boise's got nothing to lose. I mean, usually we come in with a ranking.
There's a football game they can lose. Am I wrong about this?
They can lose, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm just pointing out. I don't know if that's Idaho high school education, maybe. They might have thrown you.
We don't have a top 25 ranking to give up.
That's true.
And BYU does.
That's
they
true.
Got a top 10 ranking to give up.
That's a tough one. And
yeah,
that's
but
always
you,
tough.
You've built a tradition. Your wife even said that there's a culture there. There's all of this.
Yeah.
So you lose and you start losing that culture. I mean, that's a lot to – like you have a lot of pride in your program. You that's something that may be bigger than a top 10 ranking.
Yeah, Boise State definitely has a winning tradition, and people that go to Boise State expect to win. I mean, when we lose two games in a season, people consider it, you know,
a bad season.
Right. So I say, hey, everybody's got to have less than 10 wins once in a while. So.
So is this a year for less than 10?
This is a year for
and
less than 10.
And last year,
what was last year?
Well, last year was a COVID-o'd.
Oh, it was COVID-o'd.
Oh, so it doesn't
yeah,
even.
Last year was COVID-o'd.
Yeah. You don't know about the verb, you've been COVID-ed?
No,
there's,
I don't.
There's covet thy neighbor, and then there's COVID your neighbor.
Neighbor.
You don't want to COVID your neighbor
no.
ever, okay?
So don't last year it. Didn't even matter.
Okay.
No, it was a mulligan.
Now, last time, the shoe was on the other foot, too, because Boise State came in. They were a ranked team, undefeated.
Yep.
Baylor Romney comes in, and this is a pretty unknown. I mean, nobody was like – everybody's going, man, look at this backup quarterback coming in. They game plan the heck out of it.
Yeah.
And they caught the Broncos sleeping a little bit on some of those trick plays. Is that a function of just being out-coached in that situation? And is that the kind of thing that needs to happen this weekend so that Boise State can get a win out of Provo?
Boise State got Boise Stated last year. And
not
last year, 2 years ago in Provo.
Yeah, COVID-ed, yeah, COVID. Yeah.
Last year was COVID-o'd.
COVID-o'd.
2 years ago, we got Boise Stated. Yeah, they definitely.
Boise Stated.
they definitely had some a great game plan last year, and you know, I don't have an excuse. We lost. Or 2 years ago. Last year, we just got smoked, for sure.
It was COVID-ed.
It was COVID. COVID-o'd. Oh,
yeah. No, everybody
COVID-o'd,
got
COVID-o'd, whatever that is.
Yeah, you can't smoke.
So,
you can't
is,
smoke
this a,
in the stadium.
Is this a rivalry? Is Boise State BYU a rivalry?
I absolutely believe so.
On the list of games that you want to win in a year that's on that schedule for Boise State, is BYU number one for
absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
And is it because you
not
live.
Conference games?
No.
Now, do you have a Utah. Do you have a born in Utah wife? Was she a BYU fan growing up? Has she had to become
She's a Cougar Boise grad. I married a Cougar.
Oh, see? I did too. But I'm also a Cougar grad. So.
Yeah.
Well, this
yeah.
is good. Are you a split household or is she kind of like, you know what? You're not worth it. You're not worth getting into a fight over this stuff. Because my wife is like, I don't even want to get into this stuff.
Well, she definitely understands my passion, grows deeper, but her love for BYU is undying, absolutely.
All right. Bam Bam, the RV man. Making an appearance tonight.
That's right.
Doing his,
I can't
doing,
believe he showed up.
I know. I said, you watch. He's going to walk through that door. He's going to have that orange top hat.
I ran here. I
good
ran.
We did, too. We got sweaty getting here, too. Yeah. Hey, Bam, thanks for hanging out. And we've loved hearing your voice all year long on the Tour de Fans this year, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, go Broncos. Come see me at General RV. Bam Bam, the RV man, Brett Moore.
There you go.
Sign out.
It's easy to remember Bam Bam. Just look
well,
for that.
Well, you walk in the door.
Look for that blue belt, too.
Walk in the door at General RV Heels.
You know where he is. Yeah. You know where he is. All right, Bam, we appreciate it. We're taking the break here. News, traffic, and weather right now on KSL News Radio.
It's the unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. I'm staring at a beautiful 007 sign here at the Megaplex Theater at the Gateway. These are the luxury seats, by the way. Every seat in the house, giant leather seat, reclines. It's the full motorized reclining, too. Head, feet, all that stuff. You got the giant table on there in case you want to eat your nachos from a fully prone position. Boom. And you can watch all your movies, including 007 that came out this week. It's all part of our Tour de Fans. We had Megaplex, I guess you could say a patron, if a Megaplex come in, and he said, look, I bought extra tickets, and I did not, and I, and you know what, you can give it to some listeners, and I said, yeah, except for we're not going to be here very long, and the movie's going to start in 10 minutes or 20 minutes, I don't want to put it in a weird spot, and Jeff Whipple, of course, because he's the nicest guy in the world from Megaplex Theaters, walks up and goes, you know what, I love this guy's attitude, and so, without mentioning his name, because he said, don't mention my name, Jeff said, we're going to do some tickets tonight. So here's what we're going to do, Scott. You ready for an on-the-fly?
I can't wait. I love
on-the-fly contest. If you text MONEYPENNY to 57500, MONEYPENNY to 57500, you know what MONEYPENNY is, Scott?
No.
Okay. Anyway.
Sorry.
It's his assistant. She works for MI6. She's in one of the assistants at MI6. There's always a weird tension between her and 007. But anyway. MONEYPENNY to 57500. The 007th text that we
money,
get.
Money as in MONEY.
Yeah. People who are going to win.
NY.
If you do it, MONEYPENNY to 57500, the 007th text that we get number 7 text, will get a pair of tickets to Megaplex Theaters. And you don't even have to watch Bond, but you know, you can watch whatever the lineup is. Jeff doesn't care as long as you enjoy the Megaplex experience. So MoneyPenny to 57500, and we'll have Dallin contact you, and we'll get you set up. All we need is your email address after we pick a winner. So here we go. Scott, it's the NFL Roundup. Of course, you played in the NFL for 12 years, and so it's an advantage for us to be able to have you as a resource here. So let's compare, if you will, with me. This is a fun little game for me because Zach Wilson, as a rookie, everybody wants to know kind of how he stacks up all time against other rookies who've gone in, because I think that you and I have both kind of looked at this and said, hey, I don't know what to expect out of a guy like Zach Wilson. I don't know what to expect out of a rookie season. And you've told people to just give it a year, okay? To just back off. You don't need to have the guy win everything year one, right? And so that's been kind of your charge all the time on all this. How is it that you – what kind of progress do you want to see in a rookie season, though, first of all? What kind of progress do you want to see out of the guy? And I know you said wait till next year, but within that rookie year, what do you want to see happen from a guy?
So you want to see how he commands situations in games. Like, you have to learn how to win in the NFL. And the fact that he was able to lead the Jets to wins and make big plays in those games that led the team to a victory, those are the things you want to start seeing. You want to see, you know, how does he handle pressure and pressure situations, and how, you know, and so much of it is third down. I mean, third down, converting third downs in the NFL is kind of the name of the game, and it's learning how to score in a red zone, and just can he manage game situations. And the only way you can do that, the only way you've learned to do it, is to play. And so you watch and you see, like this last week, he took a massive step forward. When he's playing Bill Belichick, he took a massive step backwards.
Right. I
mean, but it doesn't mean he's not the only person that's ever done that. He's just had his first experience. And he's going to have to deal with Bill Belichick because he's in his division. So so you got to learn how to kind of compete and win games in your division and win close games. The NFL, it's so close every week. So many games are decided in the last few minutes of a game, or they're decided in the fourth quarter, and it's so important for that quarterback to be able to do that. And so you started to see a glimpse of some of that. You don't want to see a guy throw for a million yards, right? He goes, oh, look at his stats. They're incredible, right? But what the stats are garbage stats. It's like when the team's way behind, like when they were playing Carolina in early in the season. It's like, you know, he had some good stats at the end of the day, but they really weren't stats that showed that they were winning a game. It's just like, yeah, you're kind of losing a lot and you're trying to catch up. And it's all about, can this guy win football games? I'll use the example, and I've used it before, of Justin Herbert, where Justin Herbert was a guy that a year ago would kind of had some of those stats, but he didn't have the ability to win games. He didn't know how to do it yet. And then you see him this year, and he's winning big games on the road in big situations, and that's when you start to say, okay, this guy's a keeper. This guy's a guy who can make it in this league.
Zach Wilson, after 4 games, is 1-3. Got his first win, of course, this last weekend. Very exciting. Very fun for him. Aaron Rodgers, in his first 4 starts, was 2-2. Threw for 961 yards in those 4 games. Turned the ball over 4 times. Had 8 touchdowns, though, to those four. Now, I don't know, like, win-loss record stuff, I know it doesn't matter to you because most of the time they put rookies, especially if they're high draft picks. Aaron Rodgers' a rookie start was so much different than Zach Wilson's rookie starts that he's had. His first 4 games were sitting behind Brett Favre forever, yeah, waiting to get his turn. It's not comparable.
Well, no, and you wouldn't want to – I wouldn't compare Zach Wilson to anyone. I wouldn't even get into that comparison. I mean, sure, it's interesting. The guy who really jumped off the page to me that was Patrick Mahomes.
4-0 after four games.
Yeah, I mean, he was
threw for 1,200 yards,
but,
13 touchdowns and one pick.
And think of all the talent he had around him. And
right.
Think of the situation that he was in.
Yes. And again, and sat behind a veteran.
Right, and it wasn't his rookie year. There's such a leap between year one and year two. It makes a massive difference in what's happening. And so you can't you don't want to get into the grass is greener or he's going to turn into this amazing player, because every situation, every team is different. And if a guy kind of starts off slow, that doesn't mean anything either.
Right. 57500. I'm still looking for – well, I think I have my 007th texter. Money penny to 57500. That's how you can win those tickets. So we'll come back. I'll have probably an answer for a winner there. And we'll get you those tickets to Megaplex Theater, courtesy of Megaplex, and the grand reopening here of the luxury Megaplex Theaters here at the Gateway. We'll take the break. All part of our Tour de Fans brought to you by General RV. We are having a fun time this year going up and down the Wasatch Front. We'll come right back. Two-minute drill to wrap things up. I've got a new age that Tom Brady's going to be shooting for, courtesy of Joe Montana's prediction. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Geary. We're at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex at the Gateway. It's the luxury edition. Brand-new building, remodeled, redone, and it is spectacular, of course. Movies are out. You can get a whole slate of movies. Come to the movie. You get your popcorn. You get your food. You get everything. This is Tour de Fans. We are brought to you by General RV. A lot of good stuff's happening. Hey, if you miss part of our show, don't worry. Just download the KSL Sports app. And you can get us anytime, anywhere you want. A lot of folks, I guess, have responded to our movie ticket offer.
Megaplex. Megaplex offered a couple tickets, courtesy of a very nice patron here, and then Jeff Whipple, their VP of marketing, rolled up and said, "You know what? We'll do tickets. Absolutely." So here we are. We're doing some tickets for you, and I've already got a winner. I asked one person, well, a kajillion people, but we're only going to pick one. If they were the 007th text to 57500, texting money in honor of Daniel Craig's newest Bond. I mean, why? He must be the best Bond now. You have the back and forth. People are like Sean Connery.
Roger Moore.
Not a lot of Roger Moore takers.
Oh, Roger
not a
Moore
lot of
was.
Not a lot of Timothy Dalton takers, but, you know. There's some people.
Roger Moore was my era growing up.
Wasn't Roger Lazenby? Wasn't he one of the? He was like the one of the first ones. So Lazenby was.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. See, we don't know who Moneypenny is either. So, wouldn't put it past you. I'm texting out the winner right now. And so we just need their email. Anyway, bottom line is this. We've had an awesome time tonight. Final segment, two-minute drill here on the program. I wanted to bring up while we were talking about Joe Montana says that Tom Brady could play till he's 60, and he says he's not joking about it.
He's joking about it. He can't play till he's 60.
He said, "Why would you doubt it? Why would you doubt it? Because Scott isn't 60 yet.
Osteoporosis? That's why I would doubt it. Your bones get brittle at some point.
Okay, so that's the thing you're going to go with is brittle bone disease?
Yes. It happens to all of us, okay? That's the problem.
That's the thing is then he's all, "Hi, Tom Brady here for Osteobiflex," right? Milk, it does a body good. Boy, I do. I drink a lot of it. I know I used to not, but now I do.
I drink a cow a day.
It's ridiculous. He says he can go till 60. Why not? I mean, that's only 16 years away, Scott. Scott, it's only 15 seasons left. 15 seasons he'd have to go.
Oh, well, if you put it in those terms.
Yeah. No,
that's very doable.
He'd be in the league for 35 seasons.
Very doable.
Be in the league playing football for 34 seasons. Sorry, 34 yes. seasons to get to 60. So,
I think if he got to 60, they'd just rename the NFL after Tom Brady. The whole league would just be
– TBL?
Yeah.
Tom Brady League?
Yeah.
Just the Tom Brady League, everybody. My heavens. Yeah. Well, good for him. I just thought it was fun to bring up that he was going to be – that he could be 66.
Should we do the two-minute drill?
Oh, yes.
Would you like to do that tonight?
Sorry, I heard the music and assumed we were already in the middle of it. Scott, what does the two-minute drill music mean?
Well, late in the football game, we get good on the field. Kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about. Not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show. Go home happy with the trophy because everyone gets a trophy today. Two COVID shots, and, well, we're at the Megaplex, so maybe you get some gelato.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A peanut butter bar. But no pumpkin pie because, you know, it's not very good.
It's not – well, I'm not a big – I'm not. They don't have pumpkin pie here, do they, Jeff? No, no, no.
Okay, no, they have gelato.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm not a big pumpkin pie guy. You know I'm not. So tell me, Scott, what do you have on the first on the two-minute drill here?
Well
– okay, I'll go ahead. Okay. Apparently – Kyrie Irving, the guy who everybody wonders if he's going to play. Now, KD yesterday came out and said, oh, no, he's going to be there. He's on the team. But the ticket promo they just sent out, Kyrie Irving's not on the graphic. It's like Kevin Durant.
That doesn't mean anything.
It's got Kevin Durant. It's got James Harden. It's got Blake Griffin. And then it just says.
Is it like a silhouette outlet?
And then it has LeBron. And then LeBron's on there.
LeBron's on there.
Just put LeBron on and say, yeah, he'll probably play over here at least one game.
This is the team we're going to play.
Yeah.
I think it's just a question of hedging your bet, right? So you're just like, yeah, if he's there, great. If he's not. If you have Kevin Durant, I mean, that's kind of all you need when you're selling your tickets. It's like, I mean, he's really the draw to all
right.
of this.
Yep.
You know, Kyrie Irving is kind of the conspiracy theory guy. He's the guy that's just all those kind of outlier fans that, you know, have bizarre ideas. But he's not the guy that's going to be your core fan.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying he is.
I will tell you.
You wouldn't put Kyrie on your ticket promotion? Yeah, you would. Of course, you would.
Well, of course they're not, so maybe not.
So you remember Lane Kiffin, his popcorn issue.
Yeah.
made it sound like he's got the gout because he's been eating all this popcorn or something.
I love popcorn, by the way.
I know.
It might be one of my top three favorite things ever. I love popcorn.
Do you think it's the thing you miss the most about us staring? They popped like five batches of fresh popcorn during the time we've been here, almost to mock us. That we're trying to watch our figures here.
Did not miss popcorn until I walked in the door tonight. And now I'm going to have popcorn dreams.
So, speaking of popcorn dreams, Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss, after his get your popcorn ready comment before the pregame when he threw his headset in the ESPN. He got made fun of course, because they had it run up on him. They got doubled up by Alabama. Alabama fans doing their Alabama fan thing and doing exactly what you should do when someone does something like this. They're sending him massive amounts of popcorn to the athletic facility. Somehow people know his address. I'm not sure how that works, but they know it. And, so they're sending popcorn.
You know,
Megaplex says they'll send him some popcorn if he'd like.
You know what? If they were really, really good at this, they would fill his entire office up with popcorn.
Oh, with popcorn.
So when he opens the door, it just pours out.
Prank city.
That would be
– prank
That would be
city.
Epic right there.
Yeah.
When you do things like this, this is – see, I'm torn by this because as you want to joke, you want to make a statement, you want to do whatever, but then you have to live with the consequences after you do this, right? And so, you know, who knows? This may be a moniker for Lane Kiffin for years. I mean, this is something that he's going to have to deal with. And you just maybe you just own it. Maybe it becomes part of what you do. But it's kind of frustrating as someone in the public eye where, you know, then you don't want to do anything. You know, then you don't want to say anything, and then you just kind of get vanilla, and people don't like that. But so you're on this kind of fine line between, you know, what do we do? What do we do between having this funny moment, I think he was trying to be funny with it, or you just shut your mouth and you don't say anything, and you become Bill Belichick. I mean, people want personality, but they don't want to live with popcorn for the rest of their life either.
I could do popcorn for the rest of my life. Come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could do popcorn as well. I don't know.
Pete Rose apparently has gotten himself involved in a gambling podcast.
Shocker.
But he insists it's just handicapping games.
Scott. Oh, yes.
That has nothing to
what
do with
What does it
gambling.
Have to do with handicapping the games? Just like saying...
I don't endorse this as any sort of betting, but they're a plus 125. I'd take that one. I mean, just handicapping it, of course.
But is he doing the handicapping? Or
I don't know. He says it's just handicapping, but yeah. I guess so. So I'm just saying. Now, here's the thing, though. And here's the hypocrisy of the whole thing. All these doofuses that are involved in baseball after the game, they do a gambling. I guarantee they're sponsored by DraftKings on their radio shows, things like that. You can't Pete Rose, get him in the Hall of Fame and then just see, but take it with a grain of salt. He was the best hitter we've had in the game ever. He's the best hitter we've ever had in the game. He got busted gambling. We don't know if he ever gambled on his own team, but he got in trouble. He did not actually take steroids, which a lot of people who are in the Hall of Fame actually did. So there you go.
Well, I think the reality is if anyone knows anything about gambling, it's Pete Rose. You know, so maybe this is something that just fits him well, you know?
I don't think he's necessarily been not making money off the whole deal, but I'm just saying if he wants to get in the Hall of Fame, maybe it's a bad look.
Well, if you're someone who gambles or bets, probably go to this channel to tune in to Pete Rose and see what he does.
Scott, did you have fun tonight?
Of course I did. This was
Jeff,
awesome.
Did you have fun tonight? Did you have fun? Yeah, absolutely.
I think we should do our show in a movie, in a luxury suite.
I think that they would.
That would be fun.
That's the one place where Jeff will draw the line is doing the show.
He kind of likes
doing the show while the movie's going, and we're going. Well, oh wow! Spoiler alert: Bond dies in this one, man.
like early in the movie, too.
Like way early. Boy, that didn't last long. 008, you're next up. All right. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Geary. Thanks to Megaplex Theaters for having us and our tour de fans brought to you by General RV. For Scott, Dallin hooking up everything, doing everything right on site, and Alex Brown hitting all the buttons back at the station, and our producer Jeremy. We say so long, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.